I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me, Brother Gino, for the pastor's study today. Doctrine, and be not deceived concerning sin. So we're going to pick up now, and the fourth thing that we want to look at is be not deceived, amen, be not deceived in your associations. Be not deceived in your associations. And let's begin in 1 Corinthians with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verse number 33. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 33. The Word of God says this, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Amen. That's right. In other words, the wrong crowd, Christian, will ruin you. The wrong crowd will ruin you. We see in Psalm 1, verse 1, it admonishes us, it says, blessed is the man. Amen. That means, blessed also means happy, to be prosperous. Blessed is the man. If you want to be a blessed man, woman, boy, or girl, it says, here is a formula. Blessed is the man that walketh not, amen, in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see, often the friends you have determine, amen, the morals you live. Often the friends you have determine the morals you live. There is a separation, amen. You must choose. Amen. Proverbs 29, verse 27, the Word of God says, an unjust man is an abomination to the just. And he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked. This verse says that just and unjust people are abominations to each other. And separation, my friend, does not come naturally because our human nature, amen, because of our human nature, that's right, the human nature, amen, is a fallen nature, the Adamic nature, amen. Adam fell, and as a result, sin entered into the world. Therefore, separation is always a choice that must be made. Either the unjust and wicked are an abomination to the just and upright, or they're not. Either the just and the upright, amen, are an abomination, that's right. Either the just and the upright are an abomination to the unjust and wicked, or they're not. You cannot have it, my friend, both ways. It's one or the other, but not both. When Moses spoke to the people of God in Exodus chapter 32, a decision had to be made. Turn to Exodus chapter 32. In Exodus chapter 32 with me, and we want to look at verses 26 to 28. He came to them and he says, you got to choose. You have a decision you have to make. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp, amen, and said, who is on the Lord's side? See, Moses had been up on the mountain with God, and while he was away, the people, amen, made them a golden calf, amen, an idol. And they were dancing, amen, and into all kinds of wickedness. He comes down, and he's setting them straight. He said, let him come unto me. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together unto him. And he said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, put every man his sword by his side, and go in, and out from gate to gate throughout the camp, and slay every man his brother, and every man his companion, and every man his neighbor. And the children of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men. Amen. See, he told them, who is on the Lord's side, then come to me. There's no neutral ground, my friend. Either you're on the Lord's side or you're not. That's right. You know, Joshua, who was a servant of Moses, put it to the children of Israel also. He told them they had to choose. In Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, the word of God says in Joshua 24 verse 15, if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. He told them to choose. Choose. Amen. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve, amen, the Lord? Or are you going to serve the false gods of your fathers? But you have to choose. There's no middle ground. Amen. Moses told them they had to choose. Joshua told them they had to choose. Amen. That's right. As you can see, this is clearly, amen, a separation that you must choose. Just as Paul the Apostle wrote to the Corinthian believers, he said, come out, amen, come out from among them and be ye separate. Amen. Come out from among them. Come out from the world. Be ye separate from the world. Be ye separate from unruly, unorderly Christians. Amen. That walk contrary, amen, to the word of God. You see, as Christians, we are faced with the same decision, whether to come out from them or stay in with them. That's right. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, he said, no man can serve two masters. Many Christians think they can serve God and serve the world, but you can't. So no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. See, one must choose. Amen. Which master he will serve. Billy Sunday said this. Billy Sunday was a great evangelist of days gone by, amen. But he said this, you cannot love flowers, amen, without hating weeds. You cannot love flowers without hating weeds, amen. So we see then, fourthly, be not deceived in your associations. You hang around with the wrong crowd. You don't come out. You don't separate. It's going to affect you. Many times a Christian said, well, you know, I'm going to hang around them and things will change. I'll make a change. Amen. Especially Christians do this with Christians who are out of fellowship with God. Amen. But don't fool yourself. What ends up happening is they affect you. They'll cause you to fall. They'll corrupt you. Amen. So be not deceived in your associations. Amen. Be not deceived in your associations. Now, the last area we want to see, to be not deceived, is about sowing and reaping. Be not deceived about sowing and reaping. Amen. Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Galatians, chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, in verses 7 and 8, the Word of God says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he reap also." Amen. That's the law, amen, of sowing and reaping. That's a spiritual law of action and reaction. What you sow is what you're going to reap. Verse 8, "For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." But see, the choice is yours. Amen. And the spiritual law of sowing and reaping applies to everyone saved and unsaved. However, here in Galatians, I believe the Apostle Paul is addressing saved folks. Saved folks in particular about being deceived when it comes to sowing and reaping. He's warning them, don't be deceived when it comes to sowing and reaping. In other words, he tells them, don't think you can get away with your sin without any consequences. Amen. You know, a lot of times, God's merciful. And his hand of judgment doesn't come down on us right away. And some Christians think, well, they've gotten away with it. No, it's because of God's mercy. But the Word of God says this. In Numbers chapter 32, verse 23, it says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Be sure your sin will find you out. Amen. Now, great Bible illustrations of sowing and reaping of the child of God. Amen. Well, we have Samson. Amen. We all remember the story about Samson in the book of Judges. He was separated in his mother's womb unto the Lord. He took the Nazarite vow, amen. Amen, he wasn't to touch any unclean thing, amen. Razor wasn't to touch his hair, amen. He wasn't to drink any wine or strong drink or have anything to do with the vine, anything in the vine, grapes or anything, amen. So we see right before he was born, even before he was born, he was separated under to the Lord's work. But what happened? Well, we see that he married an unsaved woman. Amen. He went down to Timnath, where the Philistine women were. And he saw a woman that pleaseth him well. And he, despite what his parents told him, they said, "There aren't there enough daughters here of our own, amen, that you could marry?" But he didn't want to hear that. He wanted a heathen woman, amen. And we know the rest of the story. It's not going to be good. And we see that today with Christians. They know what the Word of God says, unequally yoked with unbelievers, and they go and they marry non-believers. And you sow into the flesh, and you're going to reap to the flesh, amen. there's going to be nothing but problems and heartaches. And then we remember that he's remembered, Samson's remembered, what? For his great strength. But what did he do? He lived an unclean life of illicit sex. Amen? And, you know, he met up with harlots. Amen? And then he met his match, Delilah. And so, what do we see? Amen. What happens to him? Let's see what he reaped. It's sad. Look at in Judges chapter 16. Look at where we find this man who was supposed to have such a promising life. Amen. For the Lord. Look at where we find him in Judges 16. It's sad, but it's something we have to see and learn about sowing and reaping. We see in Judges 16:21, it says, "But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house." So here we see, what do we learn? We see that sin blinds, it binds, and it grinds, amen. You know, the devil's going to paint a nice, pleasant picture of sin, amen. And then he'll tempt you, like Samson, and he fell for the temptation. And we see the results of what Samson reaped because he sowed to the flesh. But I believe Samson was saved. Amen. Maybe some disagree. But I see the last hurrah. We know that he was, you know, of course, blinded, binded and grinding. Amen. There in the prison house. But then I believe we see in verse 27... we see, "Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there, and there were upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld while Samson made sport." You know, they were using Samson, amen, they were playing with him, they were getting a lot of laughs. So we see the house is packed that day. And we know then, we see that Samson prays. In verse 28, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember, I pray thee, and strengthen me. I pray thee only this once, O God, that I might be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes." So here he comes. He calls on the Lord. He asks the Lord to remember him, to strengthen him. Amen. And then we see what happens. He literally brings the house down. We see Samson in verse 29, "And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood and on which it was borne up, of the one with the right hand and the other with his left." So he's in between the two pillars and he's got his right hand on one, the left hand on the other, and he starts to push. And then we see in verse 30, "And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might." We see him with everything he's got. Amen. He pushes on those two pillars. And the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life. We find him in a sad situation there at the end. He has one last revival and then he dies. Amen. But here's a man that was to have such a promising life of service for the Lord. But because he sowed to the flesh, he reaped corruption. Another one we want to look at is Lot. We know the story of Lot. He was the nephew of Abraham. Lot was blessed with a godly uncle. Amen. And we see the day where the land could not hold the cattle and so forth and so on of Lot and Abraham. And in fact, their herdsmen were getting into fights and quarrels and so forth and so on. And we pick up in Genesis 13, actually. In Genesis 13, the land wasn't big enough for the both of them. So we look at Genesis 13, beginning in verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Amen. We've got to be careful not to lift up our eyes, because when we do, you know, lift it up has pride. That's when you lift yourself up, you're prideful. Lot lifted up his eyes, and what did he behold? He beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered, and everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest up to Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east. And they separated themselves, one from the other. Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked sinners before the Lord exceedingly. So here we see, here's his first step downward. Sees the best of the land. He chooses it. Amen. And he pitches his tent toward the wicked city of Sodom, where the Lord tells us, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Amen. And then what happens? We see that Lot ends up living in Sodom. Amen. And he ends up being taken. Amen. Of the nations come against Sodom, and he becomes captive. Look at in Genesis 14, verses 11 and 12. And they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the victuals and went their way. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods and departed. And what happens? Well, see, he sowed to the flesh. Amen. He was deceived. And now he's reaping it, what he sowed. He's captive. Amen. And then what happens? Uncle Abe comes to the rescue in verse 16. And he brought back all the goods, also brought again his brothers, his brother Lot and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Godly uncle comes to the rescue. Amen. But Lot didn't learn his lesson. Amen. No. Because we find him in the gate of Sodom, sitting in the gate in Genesis chapter 19, verse 1. And a gate was a place of prominence where they dealt with business and issues of law and so forth. So he had a place of prominence if he was sitting there in the gate of Sodom. And we see that God's going to destroy Sodom. He's warned. And he tries to go warn his family. And because he has no testimony, we see that he's mocked by his sons-in-law in Genesis 19, 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get ye out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They're saying, what are you doing, getting religious all of a sudden? Come on, get out of here, old man. Lot and his family lingered on the day of the destruction, and the angels literally pulled them out. We see in verse 16, and while he lingered, the men, that's the angels, laid hold upon his hand, upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. But the story doesn't end there. Lot's wife looks back, and she was destroyed in verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. See, you could take her out of Sodom, but you couldn't take Sodom out of her. Amen. See, she lingered. She looked back. She really wanted to be there. What happens to Lot? Well, we see that his wife's destroyed. He's got his two unmarried daughters. He ends up in a cave. His daughters end up getting him drunk. Amen? And he commits incest with the both of his daughters. And what happens? The offspring of the two daughters, one is where the Moabites came from, the heir of the Moabites. Amen? And one of the Ammonites. Amen? And these offsprings of the daughters were the fathers of Israel's two worst enemies. That's right. Lot reaped what he sowed. Why do I believe? I believe he was saved. Why do I believe that? Amen. If you read it, you wouldn't think he is. Amen. But 2 Peter, look at this. God wanted us to know this. 2 Peter, because maybe a lot of people thought Lot was unsaved. 2 Peter, chapter 2, verse 6, in turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that afterwards should live ungodly. And delivered, here it is, he calls Lot just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man, he called Lot righteous, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Amen. So we see he's called just Lot and righteous, that righteous man. But, my friend, be not deceived about sowing and reaping. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. If you reap to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. Amen. For the wages of sin is death. If you reap to the Spirit, if you sow to the Spirit, you'll reap life everlasting. Amen. Well, what have we seen today? Amen. What has God shown us? Well, he doesn't want us, amen, to be deceived in the heart. That's right, number one. Number two, he doesn't want us to be deceived in our doctrine. Number three, he doesn't want us to be deceived concerning sin. Number four, we saw God doesn't want us to be deceived in our associations. And then we saw God doesn't want us to be deceived about sowing and reaping. And I hope this study today has been a blessing to you. I pray each study, each time is a blessing from God that we spend together on the pastor's study. But once again, I want to thank each and every one of you for joining me study. Until we meet again, my prayer is that God would richly bless each and every one of you. And good day.